Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden, Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
That's right. The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness Advanced. I know, Mountain West Wellness Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine and HappyTrees.co. Laurel Eimer, who we ran into at an event last night, is going to be joining us at 3:30. But this being Party Friday, we've got vaping, we've got affairs, we've got debacles, we've got debunking. You name
There's
it.
Debauchery. We've got.
We don't have any debauchery. We're too well.
Well, we don't have.
It's not, yeah, sorry, it's not our personal anymore. That's right. Maybe I haven't had any personal debauchery for decades. But anyway,
we're not going into that.
Yeah, that's a whole other show. But want to start off with the truth straight up, right? That's what we call our show. And I do, you know, we were talking about Lauren Boebert. It was all over the news, local and national. Lauren Boebert got kicked out of the performance at the Denver Center for the Performing Arts of Beetlejuice after three people complained about her behavior. They said she was vaping, taking pictures, and she said all she was doing was singing. She actually denied vaping. And I still maintain that it was somewhat of a setup, right?
I think it was too. But it was a setup.
But nonetheless, in the interest of truth straight up, Lauren Boebert did, or people did specifically say she was not vaping. So
that was fog from the fog machine.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, this is my advice to any politician or somebody, like, if you know there's videotape, and she knew there was videotape because they were showing the security tape, don't lie. Apparently, Lauren Boebert and
saying to a politician,
well, that's silly me. That's, like, okay. That's a good point. Don't lie. Don't lie about stuff. You're right. They're like, don't lie. How could we even get through the day without that? But at any rate, new videotape, not surprisingly, is surfaced, which has also become national, of Lauren Boebert and her bad behavior. Now, some of it I don't think was that bad. We'll show it to you. But look at the end. And okay, again, this is the debauchery show. It appears to me that the date gropes her at the end, and she's trying to push his hand. As you do.
Get one cheap feeling before you're kicked out.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll let you guys be the judge. Thomas, if we could please play, and there's no sound on this. This is surveillance video from the Denver Center for the Performing Arts, which we will narrate for you. So if we could please play the Boebert video. So here's Lauren Boebert reaching into her purse. This is clearly before the show begins. She takes something out of her purse, is chatting happily with the guy, puts whatever it is she took out of the purse into her mouth and blows smoke at the guy's head in front of her. Here it is in slow motion. She puts something in her mouth, inhales, and then blows smoke at the guy in front of her. Okay, that to me looks like she's vaping. So now they cut. The woman apparently tells her, hey, knock it off. You're bothering me. And she ignores her. Now she's taking selfies, it appears. Now she's waving her arms. And what is interesting is no one else is dancing. She's the only one dancing, really. Now here's the part where the guy does something. I'm not sure what he's doing there.
And then, making her feel happy.
Then the guy comes up and they kick her out. So, you know, I don't want to make a big deal about this overly much. I just think what I think is,
don't lie, says Julie.
Don't lie. And number
when
one,
they have a tape.
Don't lie when they have a tape. And, like, you know, I was in TV for decades, right?
And you hardly ever vaped.
I hardly ever vaped in public. No, and I don't even really know how. I wouldn't even know it. But at any rate, it would be the kind of thing, and, like, literally, you would not, I would count, you know, when you go to the grocery store and it says, 14 items, when they used to have that for the quick checkout, right? I would make sure I didn't have more than 14 items because I knew somebody would be like that. Julie Hayden from Fox 31 News had 16 items. And you know what I mean? So you just know that. So, and you know, good behavior is good behavior. So I'm not really sure why Lauren Colbert. Yeah. But anyway, that's the truth straight up there. She was not behaving. As Sandra said, she did vape. It's on video. Then Barney says, well, Sandra, she's a dumbass. And then Sandra says, I agree, Barney. She's in the limelight and should know better. And Barney says, yeah, well, that man looks like a piece of work. And then Sandra says, I agree, Julie. She just killed the reelection. I agree with Barney. What a big dumbass. I'm not sure if she killed the reelection. We'll see about that. But
there are there are a lot of vapors out there. Vaping lobby is going to. You wonder what she was vaping, though. You can put lots of
exactly. Vape pipe. The thing that matters is her votes and representation. And with Jim, and I agree. And so I'm not sure how, but this will certainly give them fodder. And I kind of was like, before I was thinking she was just sitting there. And I do think they set her up. And I do think that if it had been, say, a Democrat, let's say that was, you know, Ocasio-Cortez, I don't think we would have seen the video like we saw there. I don't think they would have provided it, frankly. Anyway, we just want to correct it. True straight up, either way, the way it cuts. And Chuck basically wanted to use this segment now to segue into more debauchery.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
All right, go for it.
Which debauchery would be? Oh, okay. This is one of my favorite ones. Kristi Noem, the very attractive governor of South Dakota.
Did she just endorse Trump, right?
She just endorsed Trump. And as a kickback on that, at least she claims, the Daily Mail revealed that she has had a long-time affair with who other? Corey Lewandowski, the former Trump advisor, the little moly little guy.
How'd they meet? Well, I guess it's events and stuff, right?
Yeah, well, he became her advisor. And back in 21, when AM Greatness said the two were at it together, she sent out an email. These rumors are total garbage and a disgusting lie. These old tired attacks on conservative women are based on a falsehood that we can't achieve anything without a man. Yeah. I love Byron from time to time. I'm proud of a God-fearing family we've raised together. Now I'm getting back to work. That cut things down for a couple of years.
He is like, she went out with him no effing way. Apparently, Dr. Donna thought she was married. Oh, you know.
Only for 30 years. I got married in 92 and they have 4 children together. They have great pictures. He's a very handsome guy.
Are they denying, because this rumor now clearly has resurfaced, right? And so are they denying it?
She has denied it again, saying it's retribution for her backing Trump. Mr. Lewandowski, who's also married, but he's also married to a very mousy-looking woman. She is. He's very mousy. I mean, that's who you'd think he would be attracted to, or would be attracted to him, rather. But no. Hot Kristi Noem.
Well, she got a discount on the advice. Political consultants can be expensive.
But the Daily Mail, in their usual thorough way, goes through all the trips they've taken together. They're up in Aspen and they for some event, and the people in the event put her in the St. Regis and him over in the Jerome. So she just screamed and yelled at him, and they quickly found a room for him. That didn't another room. But
they had that ABC couple that initially denied it, right? They were married, the co-anchors, and they do their good job. They do a good job on stuff like this. And they don't, you know, they were right about Jeff Bezos, right? Yeah, I mean, all of this stuff. So I don't know.
One pundit was talking to another. This is apparently true. And he said, do you think that Kristi Noem could be the savior of the Republican Party? And the other advisor went, by effing Corey Lewandowski?
Oh, no. maybe that's a thing. Well, it is, you know.
That's the one I don't get. I you know, who knows?
So what I want to know.
Love the ones you're with. And that's been proven, you know, time after time after time. But
I would not want to be is there was a thing. So the Washington Post, I think, is saying they're looking for a Taylor Swift reporter and a Beyonce a reporter. So reporters to specifically report on Taylor Swift and Beyonce, I would just hate to be that reporter in the media like, Julie, we think Kristen Noem and Cora Lewandowski are having an affair, so we need you to like follow them for the next year, jumping up out of the bushes and taking pictures wherever you can. If you're a reporter, you'd be like, I'm a serious journalist. And they'd be like, yeah, just go do that. So this being Party Friday, though, guys, we have all kinds of fun stuff. Let's see if the other comments from Dr. Donna. I was raised in a far different generation, Barney. Me too. Dr. Donna said,
wait a minute. Kristi Noem is 50 herself. She's a young chicken.
She's in her 40s. That's yeah. Right. Fun news on this Party Friday. This, I love this story. And today we had time to do it. So we are. So I'm sure you heard a couple months ago, the Energy Secretary, Jennifer Granholm, went on this EV, electric vehicle, dog and pony show with NPR in tow. And they went on a 4-day trip
around the South,
with their EV to show how easy it was and why we should all have EVs, particularly now since Biden is annoying the Saudis. So they're increasing the oil prices while he's cutting drilling. So oil, I don't know if you guys have been to the gas station lately, but it's
gone up
again. No sign of it coming down. So they're trying to push all of that. And so she drove around with her entourage to show how easy it is to drive around the country and charge your EVs and all of those, you know, the lies and the gaslighting by the conservatives that it's not that easy and doesn't work that well. She was going to prove them wrong. Well, they get to this place in Georgia and they're going to, you know, they go to like a Walmart. They're going to go to the Walmart to charge because they plan their trip because they have to, you know, they have to make sure they have the charging things. But apparently the Walmart, it was busy, right? Two of them, now I think two or three of them weren't working at all, which is always a bad sign. And some of the other ones were so full, you know, you had to wait in line, but she's the energy secretary and it takes a while to charge these things. It's not like when you wait at line at the Costco pump, right? You know, you can 10 minutes later, boom, you're done. So it could take hours, I guess. And so they didn't want to do that. So one of her staffers,
advanced guard,
in a gas powered vehicle, right? Like a Corolla or something like that, and pulled into the charging station and blocked all of the other people from using it, even though she wasn't even there yet. So the people, not realizing what an important person she was in the Biden administration, called 911. So here's, we're going to play. This is the 911 call that they made on the energy secretary illegally blocking the charging station. So Thomas, please play the 911 call.
Palm County 911.
Hi, I'm calling because I'm in the Grovetown Walmart at the charging station, and there's literally a non-electric car that is taking up a space who says they're holding the space for somebody else. And it's holding up a whole bunch of people who need to charge their cars.
All right, here at the Walmart on Spanner Way.
The one in Grovetown that has the Arby's in front.
Okay. Can you hear me?
I see.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I can hear you.
Are they still there?
They're still here, but one spot opened up, which is like not them, but there's other people who are waiting to charge, and they're still here, and they're not an electric car, and the sign says that it has to, you can't park here unless you're charging.
No. So for fun, Representative Scott Franklin, in a hearing yesterday, Jennifer Granholm was
not
there.
Not about this,
but just thought he'd have some fun. And he asks her about it. And then she makes it even worse because she totally throws her staff under the bus, right? She throws her staff under the bus. So if
I take, you know, the buck doesn't stop here.
No, I'm going to blame my intern for doing this because, you know, somebody, I don't think they would have done that just themselves. Somebody.
So get up there and make sure we got a space.
Secretary, we got NPR in tow here, right? We don't want to show up at this charging station in a Walmart because we know how those people feel about Walmarts, right? And is it in a
bad
Walmart?
Bad enough to have to go to a stinky Walmart. You know those people
don't
smell
they have
like?
in a Starbucks or something? And so, she's just, she knew that somebody organized this, right? And they knew that the staffer didn't take it upon themselves, particularly when people started complaining and they're calling the cops, right? So if we could, so he asks her about it, if we could please play the EV debacle soundbite.
But can you attest to the validity or the veracity of the situation you had a few months ago with the trip where you had a staffer that parked in a charging spot to hold a position for you so that you and your entourage could recharge your vehicles? Was that situation true?
Yeah, I've seen the reports.
Well, you were there. I mean, regardless of the report.
I wasn't saving the spot, but let me just say I have a fantastic young staff. Just fantastic.
Well, that's neither here nor there.
I just want to say
but
somebody
made it true that you had a staffer in a gas powered one of your representatives parked in an electric charging spot to reserve the position for you so that you could do it and not be deterred from your travels?
Was poor judgment on
but it's true,
the part
correct?
Of the team.
Why do you think, and poor judgment, but why do you think they did that?
I can only imagine they wanted to continue moving, but the bottom line is it's not going to happen again.
Yeah, because I've really learned that those stupid EVs don't work, so I'm never going anywhere in one again.
You're in a regular goddamn gas station.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to get in my limo. And you know, and Buttigieg had a similar kind of thing. So it's one of those things, you know, again, they're gaslighting us, right? And they're telling us, oh, no, you can use these EVs. They're going to be great. They're going to be great. And we're going to force you to use them because we're going to get rid of all the gasoline and make it, you know, become so expensive. So you all have your EVs. But, of course, there are no charging stations. And the ones that they have don't work. They take hours. And, you know, it's just a joke. I mean, if you want to have an EV, that's great, right? We have friends who have EVs.
No, they're not real friends.
And that's cool. And I think there might be some cool things about them. But don't try to gaslight us and lie to us and tell us, oh, that they work just fine. You can easily travel around. Instead, you've got all these people. They're
as
broken.
Long as you got NPR and the whole caravan and got somebody with a fast car who can get to the and that, obviously the person was pretty far ahead.
Apparently. I mean, a long way. Well, yeah, exactly. It works as long as you have someone in a gas-powered vehicle able to drive ahead and save you the spot, right? And then you can pile into that gas-powered vehicle to go someplace fun,
yeah,
while not the Walmart, where you have to wait however long it takes you to charge it up. So there's that kind of gaslighting. The other one I want to play, this is fun, and then Chuck wants to talk about Romney, is and there's a more serious note to this too, but
there is.
And I'll get to that in a second. But CNN has now jumped on the ditched Biden wagon. I think it's been kind of growing, right? You had the Washington Post or was it the New York Times reporter say, you know, Biden shouldn't run again, and everyone hates Kamala Harris, so she shouldn't run again either.
The
Post columnist. Okay, so CNN did this too. So Thomas, if we could please play the CNN debunks Biden soundbite.
He has done, I don't know if it's similar things, but he's sort of told some stories that don't line up quite like this before.
Yeah, this president has a pattern at this point of either inventing or embellishing stories about his own past, his biography. He did it 3 times in one speech last month alone. He claimed he had witnessed a bridge collapse in Pittsburgh when he actually showed up about 6 hours later. He claimed that his grandfather had died just days before he was born himself at the same hospital. In fact, his grandpa died more than a year before in a different state, not the same hospital. And he also repeated a favorite false story that I and others have debunked over and over again about a supposed conversation with an Amtrak train conductor he was friends with, who was actually deceased at the time the conversation would have had to take place. And that's not all. There are some more serious ones, in my view. Previously in his presidency, he claimed at one point he'd been arrested during a civil rights protest when, in other versions of the story, he just said an officer had taken him home from a protest. He said he had visited the Pittsburgh synagogue where worshippers were killed in a 2018 mass shooting. In fact, he had actually spoken to the rabbi, but never went. And he's made a whole bunch of others, too. He said at one point, Republicans like to bring this up, he said that he used to drive a tractor trailer. He used to drive an 18-wheeler. Never happened. The White House later clarified he used to drive a school bus at one point as a job briefly. School bus, of course, not an 18-wheeler. So whatever his intentions, whether it's, you know, foggy memory about stuff that's going on decades ago or deliberate embellishment, this is an unfortunate pattern that keeps coming up again and again with Joe Biden.
So it's interesting. I mean, they were doing that in response to him claiming that he was at ground zero on 9/11 when he wasn't. He was giving a speech there, right? He was giving a speech in Washington so they could prove it. And I think what's interesting to me, I mean, we all know why, because
he's just a total liar. But my favorite one was early on in 86 when some guy challenged him about his academic or other credentials. He went through a whole litany of things that he had again, when the only full scholarship student at his law school. He had 3 degrees. He had a whole litany of lies, lies, lies. All of them lies.
His pretend wife. Lies.
Yeah. It's not like he kind of forgot. No, did I actually have 3 degrees? Oh, did I have a full school? No, I didn't. Oh,
well, and he claimed he was a university professor.
And then challenged a guy. Then he, oh, yeah, he came. Yeah, just recently he claimed he taught at the University of Pennsylvania teaching political theory or some theory. And they pointed out he had one of those visiting professor BS things, got $900,000.
And never actually even
never taught a went single class.
Got into a classroom. Well,
and he went to one, he didn't give one lecture.
What
somebody.
I find interesting, though, is that CNN is doing the story. And yes, once again, yes, yes. There appears to be.
You can imagine the CNN normal audience. What?
Right.
Joe Biden is. Why didn't they tell us before this?
Yeah, I thought all those things were true, yeah. You know? And so you got, to me, at least, you want to, again, true straight up. So what's really going on here? And I think there is clearly somebody is putting out memos, ditch Joe Biden. I mean, the Washington Post, that guy's not writing a column like that without getting an okay from somebody.
Right.
CNN, they're not running that without getting an okay from somebody. And I'm wondering more and more if, I mean, I keep thinking he's going to run because the Obama people are going to, you know, who control things are going to want him there, right? But you got to wonder because, again, there's a new poll out once again that shows he and Trump pretty tight, right? Some of them show Trump leading some. I mean, the various
on average, Trump is slightly ahead. And they point out in 2020, there was not a single poll that had Trump ahead.
Right. And so
and they were right, of course.
Well, yeah. and again, I think the trouble is that maybe they need more and more votes to rig or something like that. But I do think I used to be confident that, no, they were going to force Biden to be the candidate. But all of a sudden, with all of this coming out, again, they wouldn't, and things can change.
Just be leaving their options. Let's give them a few shots and then see how everything goes.
Yeah, I mean, they may get the memo next week that says, no, we love Joe Biden. So,
age is not a problem, it's experience is a benefit.
That's right.
Pelosi's one.
And this is from Sandra. This is what happens to a liar politician. They have never lived in the real world. Everything is given or done for them. Then Jacob says, CNN has buyer's remorse. And then Sandra's agreeing with me that they want Biden out. And then Jacob says, when MSNBC breaks or ditches Joe Biden, then that will be, you're right, Jacob. Yeah. That'll be sort of the telling point, right? Although you never know, because some of these news organizations too, I think are somewhat controlled, maybe too strong, but then again, maybe not, by like the State Department or the Department of Justice or the CIA. So you got to wonder, is it the Democrat Party who wants Joe Biden out, or is it the CIA who wants him out, or the State Department?
Some of the thing you talked about, it was a columnist for the Washington Post, David Ignatius, and Glenn Greenwald said, well, David Ignatius has been a toady for the CIA from day one. So maybe the intelligence community, and they control everything, of course, wants him out.
Well, and maybe you're right. Maybe the deep state, the intelligence community, and that whole sort of bureaucracy, technocrats, who actually I think probably have a great deal of control in Washington, D.C. Maybe they're the ones who the Democrats are like, look, guys, we've got it rigged. Don't worry. Yeah. Don't worry. But if you're the intelligence,
right,
if you're the intelligence community and you've got Trump saying, I'm dismantling you all the first day I'm here, they're kind of like, we cannot risk Joe Biden losing,
And they can't have Kamala in there. We've got to have the governor of California. He's our hero.
Maybe Kristi Noem will do it. No, I'm kidding.
She'll change husbands.
And so in the meantime, so we've got, did you want to talk about Romney now?
Oh, yeah. Mitt Romney. So Mitt Romney announced yesterday that he was not going to run for reelection. That was somewhat of a surprise. Bill thought he would. He was facing a lot of blowback from Utah and maybe just didn't want to go through that. But also at the same time, this is not a coincidence, he's putting out a book called Romney, A Reckoning, and it's written by McKay Coppins. And basically what he did is he hung around with Romney for a couple of years, and Romney was breaking into things to get him documents and everything else. And so he writes this book referring to himself as Coppins. So you have to remember that Coppins writing the book. But when he says, they know better, he told Coppins. I mean, they told me, but it's okay. It's a well-written article. I love beautiful writing, and he's a very good writer. And so he trashes on everybody on his own side. Now, he gave speeches. I mean, he'd always.
But Romney is trashing. Romney is trashing all the Republicans.
All Republicans, not Democrats. He's not, at least in this excerpt in the Atlantic, he's not trashing Republicans, but all his fellow Republicans. And Romney has kind of been famous for that. Before Trump, when Trump was running, he'd trash him. And then he'd ask for a cabinet position for Secretary of State. And when he didn't get it, he trashed him again. So he seems to trash everybody. In this book, they said, Romney accepted Trump's endorsement for president. He goes, no, that's not how it works. You don't get... And he also accepted the Trump's endorsement for senator and then quickly trashed him in the Washington Post after he won. But it's just not those guys. It says, over 4 years in the Senate, Romney accrued a special kind of loathing for Josh Hawley, Senator of Missouri, and J.D. Vance, Ohio. During the Capitol riots, while huddled in the Senate chamber with his colleagues, Romney recalled whirling on Hawley to yell at him that it was his fault. Oh, okay.
I thought it was Trump's fault.
Yeah. They know better, he told Coppins of his far-right colleagues, granting that Hawley was, quote, one of the smartest people in the Senate, if not the smartest, and only next to Ted Grant, Ted Cruz, who he also hates. Romney speculated that Missouri lawmaker had made a calculation that ended up putting politics above the interests of liberal democracy and the Constitution. Oh, okay. forget that guy. Having lost his stomach for collaborating with his more Machiavellian counterparts, Romney at one point over the last 2 years outright told Coppins he doubted he would ever work with Josh Hawley on anything.
all right, we don't need to read the whole thing.
It's so good.
We get to Ken Buck.
He was screaming. He said it just wasn't worth it. He says, "Really, you sell yourself out so cheap?" Oh, it's just ridiculous.
He seems like not a nice guy. Well, so in the meantime, then we've got Ken Buck. I had said I want to kind of quit beating up on Ken Buck, but then he keeps doing more stuff. So we've now got, this is the world is turning upside down, guys, on Party Friday. We've got CNN attacking Biden, basically, right? And then so Buck goes on MSNBC and supports Biden. And supports Biden. And I want you to listen to this soundbite, because this is basically Jen Psaki saying, Ken, why are you a rhino?
Why are you such a piece of shit?
I'll tell you. So if you could please play the Buck soundbite.
Really interesting to watch you on multiple occasions speak out so forcefully against the push to launch an impeachment inquiry into Joe Biden. You've also pushed back on the claim that January 6th inmates are being mistreated. Why have you been so vocal about all of these issues now?
Well, Jen, we have really important issues facing this country. And as Republicans, we need to stay focused on the border. We need to stay focused on crime, particularly in urban areas. We need to stay focused on inflation. Those are issues that Americans care about, and they want to see a change in leadership in the White House as a result of those. If we start going down these paths that really bear no fruit, we are not going to get an impeachment through the Senate. We're not going to, the idea that somehow the January 6th prisoners are being treated differently than other prisoners in a jail that has a history of real abuse and poor conditions is just not true. And so we can waste our time on issues that are not important, or we can focus on issues that are. The reality is that the impeachment process is one that is going on right now. The Judiciary Committee, the Oversight Committee, the Ways and Means Committee are all investigating. They're developing really good information about Hunter Biden. I agree with Dan, your last guest, that there is not a strong connection at this point between the evidence on Hunter Biden and any evidence connecting the president. So I am more focused on the issues that I think Americans care deeply about.
Give me a break. And did you see the headline? And this is where he fuels into it. The headline underneath this, of people who weren't watching it, it says, Ken Buck slams Colorado GOP for spreading false information about January 6th. It's like, no, everything that they said was true. Everything that Ken Buck said was false. And he still is going on there. And again, she's sort of like, it's really interesting, Ken, watching you do all this stuff, watching you support Biden and trash Republicans. He's like, well, you know, I mean, she should have said, why are you a rhino? And it's kind of like,
Did Mitt Romney and you get lessons from Mitt, get together with him?
Exactly.
And
then- I mean, it's sort of like, I think they could probably handle a couple of things at once, right? They can handle the impeachment.
Sanders says Buck is Kevin Priola, piece of shit liar. But her husband, his wife, was one of the ones.
Michelle Priola
was one of the ones who were the plaintiffs to prevent
Trump from being on the battle. That's right. Well, and as Dr. Donna points out, he hasn't even been to the jail, and he's sometimes abusive. So, I mean, why not?
And they're in charge of it, right? Yeah. The federal government is in charge of the jail.
And Barney hits the point exactly. Whose fanny is he sucking? And I think that's absolutely right. You know, that's the kind of thing that that people need to know. So, hey, we've got Laurel Eimer with it, because I want to ask Laurel about this now, so the timing is perfect. Laurel Eimer, great Jeffco Republican. She was grassroots before everybody yes, you know, she has walked the walk and talked the talk for a long time. And is former CD7 GOP congressional candidate. And we ran into her at a great event last night. So, hey, Laurel, thank you for joining us and for your time today.
Hello, how are you today?
Good.
We went, it was the Colorado Hispanic Republicans' first annual. It was a cultural festival. They had a great turnout. I mean, everybody was there.
That's right. The three of us were there, that made the crowd. We don't need anything else.
Well, let me ask you, Ken Buck, you know, I don't know if you just heard the soundbite where, you know, he's explaining to Jen Psaki why he's a rhino. And then he gets all upset when we call him. He didn't say rhino. But what's he doing, do you think? I mean, he's against the impeachment because there's no evidence. It's like, what? You know, he's attacking.
No direct connection between Hunter and his son. I mean, Joe and his son. You never see that. I mean, he's on the plane together.
DNA links them together, I think.
Yeah, and some vague one, but that Biden DNA gets spread pretty wide.
Yeah. Well, at least it isn't Kamala. Well, I have a love-hate relationship with Congressman Buck, to be honest. I love Ken Buck as an individual and as a person.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
He's fantastic. He's helped me a lot. He's always responsive. I don't like Ken Buck as a congressman. Okay. And I think what you're seeing is that if you go back 2 years ago, he got almost primaried coming out of state assembly.
Yes.
It was shocking, right? So he's having to walk a line now where he still has to pretend to be grassroots. I mean, he was a Tea Party candidate. He came out of what we all stand for, right? And that's who he started out to be. But what happens to everybody who gets sucked into the swamp in D.C. is the manipulation of the donor class. So I think what you're seeing him do right now is walk a line of, I have to keep my donors happy because I need their money, right? So I've got to keep the donors' money coming in. I can't do that if I say that we need to impeach Joe Biden. I can't say that if I admit to January 6th prisoners being held without trial and treated, living in squalor conditions and not being allowed visits by their family, not being allowed haircuts, not being given Bibles, all of these things. If he comes out against any of that, then he might look like a pro-Trump guy, right?
And I can't have that.
I mean, you can't be no orange man bad going on in this conversation. So I think that's what you're seeing. I think he's trying to walk that line as most of our politicians do. That's what happens. That's why we have to get rid of these people. That's why we need new faces, new blood. I've always been kind of, honestly, I've been asked this a lot in the campaign trail over the last several years, whether or not I agree with term limits. I've had a love-hate relationship with that too. I've always said that I didn't really agree with term limits. And the only reason I said that is because I felt like if our electorate was doing their job, term limits fix themselves.
Right.
Okay. But moving forward, now we know we have compromised elections. We know that we have illegal voters. We know that we have dirty voter rolls. We know that we have all these things. So the electorate can't technically do its job to fix that for us.
Right.
So I've started to come to the mind that I do believe more in term limits than I used to.
Well, the trouble is
the process is working the way it should naturally.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have it down at the state house. And I used to go down there before they had term limits and have these guys who'd be sleeping during the sessions and everything else.
Right.
But I don't think it's any better now. Now everybody is controlled by the
It's still the money.
The bureaucrats have been there for by the time they figure out what's going on, you know, their term is over and they're So it's half, it's bad almost no matter what. It's interesting that Congressman Buck wrote a book called Draining the Swamp, in which he complained about exactly what you said he'd become. I mean, he just have to look it up himself. Okay, what happened? He become
I have three chapters.
Chapter 25.
And I think that you made a really good point, and is that does happen. And he's, like you said, you know, and Chuck knows him. He's a good person, a nice person.
He's sort of
trapped in the system, and that's what
he got to blame himself. He can't go, I'm a good person.
I can't completely discount him because he has helped me. I mean, there's been times I actually needed his help, a situation for my employer. Actually I needed a problem solved. I was not getting anywhere. And I thought, well, I could call my own congressman from my own district. And then I thought, well, why the hell would I do that when I have Ken Buck on speed dial? So I called Ken Buck and he was very gracious. He helped me instantly. He got me the contact that I needed. That's all I needed. I just needed a contact. He got it for me. And I appreciate that very much. I don't want to discount that. But again, he's really not being responsive to his constituents. He's not doing what they want him to do. And he needs to pay attention because he's very, very likely to get ousted this cycle if he doesn't pull his head out. The donor class can donate all the money they want to him. But at the end of the day, it's the constituents in his district that are voting for him.
Right.
And they're still solidly red.
Yes.
And so he better pay attention because he's at risk, just like Lauren Boebert. Okay.
Right.
Lauren Boebert is at risk, period. Anybody who thinks she isn't is a fool.
Right.
And she deserves what she's about to get too, because she did this to herself, because she did not stand with us to close the primary.
Yep.
She was against that. She's still against it today. And I got a message for you, Lauren Boebert. If you want to save your seat in CD3, you better get on board and you better support the opt-out to close the primary, because it's going to come back to bite you in the ass.
Well, and there are other people who are, I mean, and we'll have more about this, but I think there's some national political stars who are going to be coming out in favor of the opt-out. And it does look bad if you're Lauren Boebert. And here's the thing, Lauren Boebert theoretically is a grassroots person, right? And she shouldn't be ashamed of it. Yeah, she should. I mean, I can see why Doug Lamborn may not be in favor of it, right?
Oh, he would absolutely not.
Yeah. Right. But Lauren Boebert, you'd think you know, she should. And yeah, I think, and you're right. We played, she was indeed vaping. We played that at the top of the show,
that's
right?
Wrong with that.
Here's an example. So I just came from a restaurant. I had late lunch and I'm sitting in the restaurant, and across the restaurant from me, like four or five tables, there's really nobody in there. So I could overhear their conversation. I was not eavesdropping. And all of a sudden I realized they're talking about Lauren Boebert. And I'm like, oh, so now I am eavesdropping, right? I'm like, okay, what do they say? So they're talking about it at their table. They're like, oh, did you see that our Congresswoman Lauren Boebert was escorted out of the Buell? And I mean, you know, blah, blah. I'm like, when average everyday people who are not really educated voters are talking about this, this is embarrassing.
Yes.
It's just flat embarrassing. I don't really care what she does or doesn't do, but it's embarrassing and you should hold yourself to a higher standard. And she clearly was antagonistic towards them on the camera. You can see that. You can see her flipping them off. You can see that she was clearly vaping. I read that somebody made a comment today that, oh, well, it was just a setup. Well, they didn't hand her a vape pen and say, here, we're going to set you up.
They probably did.
Hold yourself to a higher standard.
Where I call her out now, because yesterday I was kind of defending her, but I'm like, I think if it had been obviously, you know, like AOC, the video wouldn't have been leaked and it wouldn't have been a story. Right, but if you're Lauren Boebert, you need to know that. And it's like you're
watching everything.
I must admit, the phrase politicians must be held to a higher standard is almost comical.
It is comical. It's a kind of an oxymoron, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know, it's sad.
Thing too, I wanted to ask you about, like, with grassroots, because it has been interesting watching, you know, since Dave Williams came in and is as the GOP chair, and the grassroots is growing in influence, I think, within Colorado. The numbers have always been there. Now they're just actually getting some actual influence. You have the left kind of freaking out and you have the establishment people freaking out. And I think neither of those sides are going to give up their ground or their power easily. Do you think?
No, you're very much right. And the thing about it is that those of us in the grassroots pool of people, right, we've been fighting this fight for decades, and we can't really make any headway because we don't have the donor class money. We don't have that funding behind us. So it takes us longer. We have to work harder. We have to literally and figuratively earn the votes of the individuals on the ground, because we don't have money to buy an election.
Right.
And so with the donor class walking away from the GOP, with you know, them keeping their funds away, saying, well, we're going to tank you that way. Well, you know, they can keep trying that. But the reality is that the grassroots have awakened in Colorado and across the nation. There's a push across the United States to infiltrate offices all across the level, from dog catcher all the way to the top of the food chain, with grassroots conservatives who have a backbone, who can stand up for what they believe, who do not back down from a fight, but can do it slightly more eloquently than maybe Lauren Boebert does sometimes, you know, without vaping in public. But, you know, but I think that the establishment's scared.
I think so too. Well, and I think, and support is growing. I mean, I think it's kind of interesting. So they had the big, and I don't think they anticipated this. They had the fake Republicans, or as Dave William calls them, the counterfeit Republicans, backed by big national money, filed the lawsuit to keep Trump off the ballot. Right. Yeah. And I do not think they anticipated Dave Williams getting Jay Sekulow's law firm to come in pro bono and fight and to file to intervene. Right.
And I objected to it. I just heard, I talked to Dave.
Recently. Did they not pay attention? Do they not know who Dave Williams is?
Why
do you think we elected him? Why did we work so hard? Why did I work so hard to help get him elected? Because I knew we have to stand up for this stuff. We have to stand against it. This is nothing but blatant election interference. And if it is anything other than that, then I don't know what to say. I mean, I believe at the end of the day, it's going to end up before the Supreme Court sooner rather than later. And it's going to put the whole thing to bed. You cannot stop the electorate from making a choice of their own accord. If they don't want Trump, don't vote for Trump.
Period. Right. But and to be a Republican, but I think too, where they miscalculated, because I think not only, I think there are more grassroots money coming up, right? And I think Trump has a lot to do with
it's
it, because I mean,
better.
Jay Sekulow, I mean, they said, yeah, we can do it and we can do it pro bono, right? And I think they're probably going to do it in other states too. And again, I think they thought, oh, well, you know, we'll have to call Brownstein, we'll charge us tens of thousands of dollars and then forget to file the motion. Oh, God, was that deadline yesterday?
No, let's not do that. That sounds painful.
Well, so I think, you know, you look around in Colorado, and we'll just have a few more questions because I know it's your Friday afternoon, but
that's all right.
But sometimes it's easy to get depressed because you kind of look at the Democrat machine and, you know, and the election and the process kind of stuff. But I think on the other hand, you look at all of these grassroots things that are coming up and are working and people are getting engaged. I mean, I think there's reason to be hopeful. What do you think?
Well, it's funny. I had this discussion last night at the Colorado Hispanic Republicans event, which, like you said, was fabulous, well attended. Kudos to Greg Lopez and Ray Garcia for doing a great event last night. Anyway, there was a young man there, a millennial, a closeted conservative, as he referred to himself, a closeted conservative, a young Hispanic man from where did he tell me he was from? Puerto Rico. Sorry, Puerto Rico. A very nice young man sat at my table. We talked most of the night, and he is conservative, has been a conservative. He worked for Rand Paul back in the day, you know,
stumping
for Rand Paul. yeah. So he's, you know, he's in his 30s. He said that he did vote for Barack Obama, even though he was a conservative. He said he was like everybody else, got sucked into the hope and change, right? And really fell into that whole thing, as so many people did, realized quickly that he had made a mistake. But he wants to get involved. And he asked me, he goes, how do we keep Colorado from turning bluer? And I said, I think the thing that we have to remember is that it didn't turn blue overnight. We as conservatives and as Republican voters, and specifically as Christians, have been complacent for decades, sitting on our hands in church, praying about it and not getting up out of the pew and being active enough. And I say that all the time. And we're not going to take this back overnight either. This fight is going to take the long haul. And we have to be willing and ready to dedicate time to the long haul so that we can win the state back. And it's going to take infiltrating those, like I talked about earlier, dog catcher all the way up.
Right.
Start at the bottom. Win those small elections where we can control the electorate. Win those and move up. Build a name for ourselves. Rebuild the Republican brand under Dave Williams' leadership. We're already doing that. Prove that we can stand with a backbone. that we can support our conservative values in all aspects, that we're not afraid, we're not wallflowers, we're not going to shy away. And when someone takes us to task, we're going to be honest with the truth. That's what we have to do. And the more that we do that, the more we're going to engage the voters, the more the voters are going to want to be with us. I'd rather have an independent, you know, voter who is not, doesn't really think of himself as a Republican, but is like, you know, but you guys are right 80% of the time. Well, what did Reagan say? Then you're right with us, right? If you were with us 80% of the time, then we want you with us.
Right.
No one can ever.
I have to forget that. I sort of have to disagree with you. I mean, as far as I can determine, without ballot harvesting, they're doing ballot harvesting, ours doing none.
Well, we're starting that with the Bank Your Vote. On, this is a new rollout from
No, that's right. Yeah. I wasn't talking about
but
that.
Having
yeah.
invented ballot harvesting in Colorado,
right.
I can tell you that it takes much more work than you have any idea.
We have to start somewhere.
If you get rid of that, and that you should do it by any means you can, or change the system. Yeah. You know, every once in a while, you kind of go think, okay, computer voting. Well, they don't control that, and you'd have a 50-50 chance. But, you know, Republicans, we can't be innovators.
Well,
but
we might prove that, actually, if we're successful in the opt-out, and you look at the options of how we're going to vote as a Republican Party through the opt-out options, that computer voting is one of them. So maybe we can set the ground rules of our own, right?
Think outside the box. The other thing you're right about is, and actually, I'm going to give kudos to Courtney Potter, who is a Adams County Republican, and she's on the Adams County District 12 School Board. And so we're kind of walking out of the event last night, and she's behind us going, hey, she said she's got some great candidates who I've heard speak for Adams 12, conservative candidates. And she said, we can take Adams County, this school district back. And now people may say, well, so what?
But it
starts there, right? Yeah, and she says, she was saying the chair of the school board in Adams County District 12 is a Democrat, and a big Democrat, and is one of those emerge kind of people, I think, and who's working their way up, and she's hooked in with Hickenlooper and Bennett, and she said she helps drive Democrats, and she was like, can we get those guys on your show? I'm like, anytime. Do you know what I mean? But you're absolutely right, though. It starts there, and you get these candidates and these positions that you can win, right? And then they develop a base, they develop some donors, and then do just like the Democrats do. So
yeah, we can't win it from the top down. We're too lost here to win it from the top down. And you know, I had somebody reach out to me this week, and I have not responded yet back to them, but that was considering running for CD7. They don't even live in the district. I haven't had a chance to have a conversation with them yet, but I will. And my conversation probably won't be what they want it to be, because you cannot represent the voters of Congressional District 7 if you don't live in the district.
Yeah.
I know you can legally, but you shouldn't, because you don't know what the issues are. You don't know the people. You don't know the communities. You don't know what the people here want or need from you if you don't live among them.
Right.
And so we do that. We see, an opportunity. Oh, we're going to go do this.
Right.
Or do that. You know, we got to think bigger and more strategically about what we're running for and what the intent is and what the gain is and where we can be best suited. You know, there was a lot of catastrophic mistakes from Colorado. Big part of it was from the Republican Party, who did not help our candidates win in the 22 election cycle. We should have won. Many of us should have won those races. And I think that we just have to understand that we can't always rely on other people. We can only rely on ourselves and building a grassroots team to do so.
All right. Well, we really appreciate you coming on and taking your time.
Thank you, guys, as always.
It's always good to see you.
I want to say something too. So when we were doing the introduction, talking about all of your accolades, Sandra put out, and she's Wes's mom. So,
I'm on a side note, I'm Weston's mom.
There you go.
Tell Wes hello for us. Thank you so much. It was great to see you.
Thanks, you guys.
The next one. All right. Thank you, Laurel. Right, I'm there. And we have one more minute for the show. So we wanted to play this. This was Chuck's favorite thing. This shows sort of the state of the world, but it is kind of funny. So I want to show you this YouTuber guy. This is like Fashion Week, New York Fashion Week. So all the runways and models and the new clothes for this season are being unveiled. And this YouTube prankster crashed it. And wait till you see his outfit. And wait till you see the people just like, oh, that's lovely.
That's lovely.
If we could please play the fashion video, Thomas.
Somehow
wearing like
a garbage bag.
A garbage bag and a shower cap. People are like, oh,
yeah,
interesting.
We love it.
Chuck, you would look great on that.
So excited. I don't know what it says, but all of the people sitting there.
I like that look.
I mean, you know, you're not allowed to say anymore. That guy is wearing a garbage bag, right? The emperor has no
clothes. Yeah, exactly.
They're just laughing.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. This has been a great Party Friday. Julie promised you a very serious show today, but I'm not sure succeeded on that. But we had a lot of fun, and it was great talking to Laurel Eimer. And love all your comments. All
right. Thank you to everybody on Zoom. Catch all the shows at chuckandjulie.com. Thank you to Thomas and the great guys at BBS. Everyone, now it's time to Party Friday.
Yahoo!